Hello?
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
It's Sam. Is this a bad time?
It's all right.
I'm very excited to do this. Kind of nervous, actually.
What blog is it?
Oh, you haven't been reading our blog?
The marathon blog?
Yeah, it's the marathon blog. I thought you were a loyal subscriber, but...
I mean to, but I get too busy and yeah. I forget.
I know, it happens. Yeah, it's, we're pulling in, like, 1,500 page views a month. Pretty good. Probably that's...
Come on, are you really?
Yeah, really.
How?
I have no idea. We have people come from all, like, people are checking it from all over the world. I mean, not many, but, like, you know, 10. And if each person checks it, you know, 10 times a month.
How did they find out about it?
That I don't know. Maybe search terms. I put up some intriguing search terms sometimes, and then they Google it. Yeah. How many hits does Let's Run get a day?
How many visit pages?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're way up this year a lot. We're probably like 20,000 a day or.
Oh my God! Can't fathom that. That's good. Actually, that was one of my first questions. I actually prepared questions for you. The first one is, why haven't you guys ever done a podcast before?
Why haven't we done a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think a weekly podcast, there seems to be so much intrigue surrounding your life and Weldon's life and, you know, who's John Kellogg.
We have a Train Talk podcast.
You do have one?
Huh?
Who does it?
I did it, but I only did it regularly, like, for about 6 weeks last year. Probably did about 10 of them, actually.
I guess I didn't hear
I thought any. About doing, like, instead of doing my weekly write-up, just doing, like, a weekly, like, track talk, because it's way easier to talk about something than it is to write it. Way quicker, too.
Well, actually, I'm recording all this, so my plan is if this is good enough and you're funny enough, I don't have to go back and do edits. And like print the thing and type it up. It's gonna be so much easier if I just post this.
All right, then I better start talking professionally.
Well, I don't know about professionally, but humorously, at least. So I guess I didn't listen to it. I'm sorry about that.
But I feel, if I want to.
I feel like you guys are kind of pseudo celebrities, though, in the running world. Like, if you got,
that hurts, man.
No, I guess, I mean, you might say full-fledged celebrity, considering that the running world is kind of pseudo-celebrity in and of itself.
It's like, what is a celebrity? I had a NCAA qualifier walk up to me the other day at practice and say, hey, coach, is Nick Willis like a famous American runner?
Who was that? This was a Cornell kid?
Huh?
Cornell kid asked that?
NCAA distance qualifier. Which narrows it down to one or two people. But,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's like, I went to practice earlier in the year and asked the kids if they knew who Haile Gebrselassie was. I swear to you, one out of three didn't know who he was.
But how many people on Let's Run don't know who you are? And if you're getting 20,000 pages...
pretty high, though. I mean, I go to meet, people never talk to me, so... I don't know. I think a lot of people don't know who I am.
I think since graduating, though, I've had a lot of people ask about, you know, the dynamic... Because it's not just, you know, it's not just Let's Run. I think it's also the JK situation and the fact that, you know, Weldon was so good and not many people you know that you ran 2:23, and then there's like the whole, like, what? They bought their house with online poker winnings and stuff like that. You know, it's like this fantasy that a lot of post-collegiate runners aspire to. So I think if I were you, I would put that stuff in the podcast.
I don't know. I've been thinking the opposite approach, that we should make it less about us and more about, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Did you read all the stuff about, like, I'm so sick of JK's prediction stuff, like, Do you guys feel like you oversold that?
Like, no. I was very proud of that. Although, ironically, my girlfriend's mom, who is, you know, like a, you know, your average marathon, you know, sort of, you know, your average runner, I guess she came to the site, and she's like, oh, I really like the way the site looked after the Boston Marathon, except I didn't understand this John Kellogg stuff. I think that was really good, so, but, no, part of that was intentional. I thought it was a huge compliment. Someone said the site was reminding people too much of talk radio, and I, consciously, I would say in the last 6 months, I listened to a lot of talk radio, and, you know, you, I think that sort of the braggadocio show and that aspect of selling yourself is, you know, I realize it's a lot more of the time. It used to bother me when people didn't like me. Now, you know, Mother Teresa could have a blog and 30% of the people are going to hate her, so you might as well get over it. And, you know, if 3 out of 10 people don't like me on the site, well, at least it's 3 out of 10 people that are coming to the site every day. So.
Yeah, and I guess I remember the Alan Webb thing indoors when he had that bad race and you guys called it a tantrum. Did you get a lot of backlash for that, or was it just like, did you just assume the defensive right away?
Did I what?
Did you get a lot of backlash for the calling Alan Webb's tantrum thing? I don't know who wrote that article, but you defended your use of the term.
With the John Kellogg thing, first of all, I thought that the John Kellogg, I really thought that was genius. Like, the fact that he would say that, I mean, it's so obvious now, but no one said it. So, I mean, I just think John's a genius. But with Alan Webb, I mean, we thought long and hard before putting that up. And it was just, you know, Emery was there. He said it was so over the top. So, no, I mean, that's a perfect example, again, of we can't... If we try to be popular and not offend anyone, then we're runner's world, and we don't want to be that. We try to tell the truth, whether it's popular or not, you know, and that's sort of, yeah. So I guess there was some backlog, but I guess we're able to take that heat.
You know, 20,000, that's a lot. I'm impressed. I thought we were doing really well. I get excited. I see somebody, like, some days we get 150 hits. I'm like, wow, 150. Makes me excited.
We almost had 100,000 unique visitors. We had a record the other day. So.
Well, actually, okay. So my next question has to do with the HEPS outlook. How far away are we at this point?
From HEPS?
Yeah. Is it this weekend coming up?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, 2 days?
I don't know. I mean, we won 8 years in a row. I think I'm optimistic if we're going to win a 9. I was talking to Coach Thompson about it today, and he said, did you get people coming up to pit, at you at Penn Relays and saying, do you guys really think you can win? You know, I think there's some denial. I think the coaching staff thinks it's possible. Although, you know, if you read the New York Times, you know, Penn's the greatest Ivy League track and field team in the history of the world. So, you know, I think the perception is we have no chance, and I think that we're happy to have that perception. You know, I mean, it's not too hard to do the math. I think it's going to be a pretty close meet. I would say you guys got out of the HEPS at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, HEPS is loaded now. It's crazy. I mean, you know, we got kids that are, you know, look at the 800. Well, 800 is not... Outdoors guys hadn't been running that fast, but I think it was something like eight guys back from last year that broke 150. 1500 is actually not that crazy this year. A couple of kids are out, but I mean, 5K is crazy. You got 3 at 1346, 10 under 14, 10 or better. So.
Yeah, I guess I just don't really have any concept of. I mean, I do. It's gotten so much better that I don't even really relate. I don't think of myself in the position of having to compete against those kind of times.
It's gotten crazy. Our team is so deep. I mean, people think we have no chance of winning HEPS. And all I'll say is this might be the deepest team we've ever had. I mean, we have a 349 kid and we're not taking to the meet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because we, in our mind, he doesn't really have a legitimate chance of scoring. everybody else were taking a legitimate chance of scoring.
Like, I'll see 1440 in the results, which was pretty good, you know, when I was running. And now it's like, ho-hum, they did it at the Ithaca meet, you know, at home. They're not, they might not go to Heps.
1426 guy.
Yeah. You're not taking him?
No, he's not in the top 25 in the league. Yeah, he got seventh last year as a freshman. I mean, I think he could possibly score, but we just, it's like, how do you take him and tell the kid who's sitting seventh in a hurdle he shouldn't go?
Right.
You know, we thought about doing that, quite honestly, but because, you know, he could get, he's ranked 26, but he could get, you know, fifth or sixth, fourth.
But could you make a case for the 5K? I mean, I know when I used to go to Heps, the 5K was always like guys doubling back. I guess that's changed.
Right. It's never good. I mean, I agree. And the meet might come down to that. Princeton's really strong in that event. It's not a strong event for us at all. So, you know, maybe we'll be kicking ourselves a week from now. But
yeah.
He's been kind of inconsistent. So.
Yeah. I guess that was kind of a reality check for me. I didn't realize it was that good this year. I got to look at the website. Kind of makes my
notes. I think there was years, even when we were in school, like 93, 94, guys were like 14-10 and didn't score.
Yeah. We thought we were the shit, and we really weren't.
I think every college kid thinks they're shit.
No, it wasn't, thought we were the shit. It was that we thought, oh, wow, this league is so great because we have Sam Burley and... you know, after I left, Ben True was coming up. Obviously, Ben True's done well since. But there's always, you know, a handful of guys that could compete nationally. Tom McArdle. But, you know.
Well, those guys, right. But I think those guys are as good as anybody that's ever been in the Heps. So, you know, I think there's some now. Actually, these kids now haven't, well, Cabral, obviously, but the others haven't established themselves in the national scene like maybe some of these other guys have in the past. But they're running, you know, pretty fast.
Yeah. So, have you been running at all?
Not really. I ran 2 miles the other day. That's a lot for me.
You hurt?
The water tower back.
Are you still hurt? Some lingering Achilles injury or something?
No, my plantar fascia has been bothering me, so for like 6 months, probably should do something about it, but I don't know. I keep thinking, if I don't run around, I'll get better, and it hasn't gotten better. I used to have time to run, though. I feel busy all the time.
Yeah. It's horrible. The only reason I did this marathon, to be quite honest with you, is because I didn't think I was going to run over the winter. And it probably is true.
You have a goal. As long as you're focused and have stuff to do, you can run pretty efficiently. But if you have no plan, no nothing to train for, it's like torture.
And it wasn't even like the three of us started this marathon being like, okay, we're going to, you know, try to get X minutes from the Olympic trials. You know, we were just like, we're just going to run it. We're going to see what happens. And, you know, it was still kind of a casual endeavor. But even that has been good because you can't fake your way through 26 miles. Like, you have to put in some training if you don't want it to be just miserable. So I think it's been a really good way, kind of a ends to a means, just getting myself out the door every day. Even if the result on the race for the race isn't.
No, I would like impressive. To get back into running, and it's just, you know, who am I going to train with? I can't really run the kids and team anymore. It's like, then it becomes exercise for fitness sake, which is boring. But, you know, the goal is fun, so I think you guys are smart.
Yeah. Well, what about, like, Zeb? He's around. Oh, is he leaving?
Yeah, he's trying to get out with him, right? He tried to get me to go out with him.
Yeah, I heard there was an agreement.
He worked the other way. I think he slacks off with me and said, it's just hard. You're coaching. I've seen his training go way down. Just cause,
yeah. Wasn't there an agreement among you and Zeb and Ricky later that you could each lose 10 pounds?
There was some sort of agreement. I don't know. Ricky later lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Apparently he's running Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to kick our ass. Our collective ass.
He was incredible. He looked in really good shape. I haven't seen him recently, though.
Well, I heard he ran, I think he ran 237 just like off nothing, which is basically my goal. So I'm not expecting to see him other than the finish line.
You're married and you got a family and I feel selfish.
Yeah.
I was debating, like, I would like to run. Like, if my leg wasn't hurting me, like, if I could go run and, like, maybe listen to the radio at the same time. Like, I like to listen to, like, my talk shows and stuff. So.
Yeah. I like baseball games.
So.
It's a good time. So, we're actually really looking forward to Saturday before the race. First of all, I wanted to get your input in general on the week and a half leading up to a marathon, since none of us are really that serious about it and don't know what we're doing. And my second follow-up question is, if you were going to watch TV all day on Saturday, what would you watch?
Is this Saturday?
No, it's next Saturday.
I mean, it depends what's on.
Well, we can watch anything. I mean, we have Netflix and the internet.
Oh, to get inspired, you're saying?
Not necessarily. I'll use that word loosely. We were talking about Friday Night Lights.
I don't know. I don't think I'd want to sit inside and watch TV all day. My dad used to not let me play video games the day of a race, so. But, yeah. I don't know what I'd watch. I'd probably watch a sporting event, like if the Mavericks are playing, I'd watch them. You know, if Pittsburgh's in any sort of sporting event, I was going to watch that. I think the weekend of the marathon is weird, as you train so hard and then you're like getting nervous and supposed to taper down. I didn't like it because I would taper down and feel like sort of, I think sometimes I actually tapered too much, felt flat. I kind of have to watch it. When I was training, I was running so much, then when I tapered down, I have to watch what I eat and stuff. But I used to try to like starve myself off of carbs and then carb a load, which I don't recommend. Like psychologically, it just destroys you. It's like, you don't eat carbs for like Sunday to like Wednesday before the race at all. And then you go and run a workout Wednesday morning and not eating. And you can't even run 3 miles at like race pace because you have no carbs. And then, you know, you're supposed to super hydrate after that with carbs and stuff. But I just, like, with me, it hurt my confidence that I couldn't do that because I had no fuel. So
I was actually going to ask you about that, but I have such a hard time not drinking beer or eating sweets. Not that I'm like an alcoholic, but I like to have beer with dinner and I like to eat dessert and I like to eat cereal. You know, there's just carbohydrates are loaded throughout my day. I have no idea how I was going to do that, but I was looking into the glycogen stuff. I think you're right. I think it would wreck my mind. So your PR is 223. Was that your second marathon that you did that?
No, I ran, probably my third marathon, or at least my third. John, how many marathons did I run? I ran White Rock, Core, then Vegas. Yeah, that was my third marathon.
What was the progression?
229, whatever in Marine Corps. 229, 226 or 7, 223. Did I? Oh, John said I actually finished Chicago and ran the world record, pace world record. So probably ran 229. Well, I view it as 229. I think I ran like 226 or 227. And like 223. Then I ran terrible. I mean, like, two what? No. 230-something. Like, 237. And that was it. Well, then I ran to Chicago, but I wasn't really running it. That hurt.
Yeah, 237's my goal. How do you feel now?
I think it's
my goal, man.
My first marathon, I felt it was my best marathon. I just felt like goal for me was to break 230. I got ahead of pace, felt good. It's trouble at the end, but
I feel like
the marathon is about patience. I mean, I think running is about delayed gratification. Running is a perfect example of that. So you're going to run. You got to remember the old saying, halfway is the 20-mile mark. I mean, I don't think that's really true, but it's pretty close to true. So, you know, just hold back. You need to know your pace and really run the first. I don't understand if you guys run 20, 30 seconds too fast the first 2 miles. You better go too slow. And then, I guess you need to know what to run with. But then, you know, just hold back. And then, you know, you'll get to halfway and feel good and wonder if you can do it. Then at 15 or 16, it's going to start to get hard. You're going to be like wondering if you can do it or not.
See, I think I'm not.
After 20, your brain goes shuts off, so you can't really think very well. So,
I don't think psychologically I'm equipped for the marathon. I mean, I'll let you know after I run it, but I've run a couple just to run. This is the first one I've like kind of trained for. I haven't trained hard, obviously. My highest week was like 70, so 71 or something like that. So it's not like I've been training, but I've been running more. Basically just doing a long run and a tempo run. But I could see myself, like, I could see the appeal of it because it's so easy to PR. I don't mean easy, but relative to, like, a 1500.
Yeah, but for the actual race, you're probably top 5% for sure in terms of training. How many people run 70 miles a week? Not very many.
Yeah.